Probably already know it's not Jimi Hendrix's birthday, but somebody having to do with Jimmy, and I'll get to that at the end of the program. Let me just tell you, after I go through all the stuff that I think is in the news and is important and I want to comment on, I've got a pretty long interview with a friend of mine at the towards the end of the podcast. His name is Bill George. He is the president of the Sacramento Historical Society. But beyond that, we both worked together at KCRA many years ago. He's been a news guy. He's been in public relations. He's been a lobbyist. He's been a lot of stuff. And he recently watched helplessly as Sacramento, California, state of California authorities removed a statue from the state capitol yesterday, day before. It is a statue of Queen Isabella and Christopher Columbus. And the offending party here is not Queen Isabella, it's Christopher Columbus, of course. And anyway, it's just another one of these outrages that go on. And I think you might like the interview. You know, it's not really an interview. It's a conversation with an old friend about something that's going on, and you might like it. Meanwhile, this is what's happening out on the streets every day. This is a protester confronting a line of cops. And I honestly don't know why the cop doesn't just beat the shit out of this kid right on the spot.
You, with no mask on, and fuck you and your Hitler mustache, you fucking racist bitch. Oh, shame. Fuck you, too.
I mean, if I was a cop, I'd just lose my job on the spot. I'd just beat the shit out of him. Anyway, there's a woman named Wendy Osefo. O-S-E-F-O, born in Nigeria, raised in Maryland, claims to be a Maryland native. I don't know what that means if you're born in Nigeria. Apparently, she's a Real Housewife of something or other star, and she's also a professor at Johns Hopkins University. God. So what happened was a group of public left-wing intellectuals, what we used to call liberals, before there were these crazy people called progressives, issued a letter signed by 100 of these, you know, prominent left-wing, well, liberals. Noam Chomsky among them, J.K. Rowling among them, and they condemned the cancel culture. He said people ought to be able to say what they think, and they ought to be able to say what they want, and you can argue with them and holding them accountable in debate. But cancel culture, where their lives are ruined, they lose jobs, they're fired immediately, they're shunned, they have to go into hiding, that's wrong. So this Wendy Osefo was asked about that, and she started off with J.K. Rowling. Now, J.K. Rowling, her particular offense, she's the author of the Harry Potter novels, by the way. Her offense was that she said women are women, and men are men, and men are not women. Boy, you can't say that.
Well, J.K. Rowling is not a compass of morality because she has spoken out in a bad way against the LGBTQIA plus community.
LGBTQIA plus? Now, I see, now I'm lost. I don't know what the I and A plus are. I know what the LGBTQ. I know what they are. But what the I, A plus are, I don't know. And then she went on to defend canceling people.
It's not a cancel culture. It's a culture of accountability. If you do something wrong, then you should be held accountable. We're not canceling people simply because they wake up in the morning and say hello. These are people who are doing things that are rooted in racism, sexism. These are people who need to be held accountable. So if people are opposing cancel culture, then my question to you is, how do you hold someone accountable? If you do something wrong at your job, you will be held to a certain standard. People need to be held to a standard when they do things that in effect really detriment anyone within society, whether it's because of their race, color, or creed. And that's what we're doing.
Okay, so she is perfectly comfortable with canceling you. And by canceling, we mean ruining your life. We used to call it, well, I'll get in trouble for saying this, but one could say it's a public figurative, not literal, figurative lynching. We're just going to end your life. And these are the people who are part of the Biden team. They're going to be running the Biden administration.
So what does that say about the people around Joe Biden? Well, they're ruthless, obviously. And they're not into debate, not just presidential debates, but any debate. They don't like being disagreed with. They don't believe that there are two sides to any question. They believe their own views are the only legitimate views. When you criticize them, they won't engage with you. They don't bother to rebut your points. They simply attack you. Joe Biden himself attacked this show today, in fact. He didn't respond to the questions that we raised. He just called us names. And then his minions tried to pull us off the air. We survived because, thank God, we work here. But you should know that's how they plan to run the country. Biden will pick some running mate whose identity makes it impossible for anyone to criticize her. And then they'll describe any criticism of their governance as a hate crime. We got a taste of that for 8 years under Barack Obama. You know this. You know how it works. And of course, they've been doing it for years on college campuses and in corporate diversity seminars, any place where they have total control. Now the entire American population is getting the very same treatment. Tonight, for example, close to 1,000 companies are boycotting Facebook's advertising platform. Why are they doing that? Because they're demanding that Facebook censor the president and his voters, ban conservative news outlets, allow only publications controlled by the left to decide what's news. What do you think they plan to do to Fox News if they take power?
That is a good question.
What do you think they plan to do to Fox News if they take power?
Crush it. I mean, literally crush it. I mean, if you doubt that these are the people behind Joe Biden, listen to Joe Biden and realize somebody has to be behind him because he's not going to run anything.
Lonnie knows I believe this every fiber of my being. We're opposed. What I propose is it can be done. Okay. I think we're in a position to really make it happen.
What?
And my team and your team are already working closely together to light up the path forward here. Critical laws like the PRO Act to strengthen collective bargaining. On politics like prevailing. Uh-huh. And look, uh-huh. Yes, I'm taking too much time, but you know.
That was not edited. That is end to end Joe Biden. I didn't cut it. I didn't slice it, dice it. That's what's going on. So who are the puppet masters? Well, Bernie and his woke brigades.
I was glad to work with the vice president in forming six separate task forces, which had some of the most knowledgeable people in the country coming together to deal with education and climate change and healthcare and the economy and criminal justice and immigration reform. And these folks, needless to say, people who represented the progressive movement had a different perspective on things than did Biden's people. But there was serious discussion and I think a real honest effort to come up with a compromise. And I think the compromise that they came up with, if implemented, will make Biden the most progressive president since FDR.
Well, that's good news, huh? That ought to make you want to run out and vote for him right away. Where is it you can hide from this crap?
I'll tell you something right now. If you're looking for a place to come where none of this crazy shit will happen, come to South Carolina. We're not going to defund the police.
Well, that's encouraging. Trump is under attack right now for wanting to open the schools. I mean, what the left wants to do is keep the schools closed through, you know, November 3rd. That way they can subject many more millions of people, well, the same millions of people, with much more misery before Election Day and hope to be able to usher that empty suit Joe Biden into office. Now, you know, the CDC has issued guidelines for schools and people are talking about, well, we can't do it. How are we going? Oh, my God, we can't do it. The kids, the teachers, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. The head of the CDC, Dr. Redfield.
First and foremost, I want to make it very, very clear that the guidance that CDC continues to put out for schools K through 12 and higher learning is intentional for reopening and keeping our schools open. That's its purpose. But I want to make it very clear that what is not the intent of CDC's guidelines is to be used as a rationale to keep schools closed.
Yeah. Well, no, that's good. CDC is not intending to keep schools closed. So follow their rules and open the schools. Kids got to go back to school. Okay. Crazy shit department. Sorry, whoever doesn't like this stuff. Al Sharpton on MSNBC. Talking to Willie Geist. And they're talking about the fact that Bill de Blasio can't stop New Yorkers from shooting each other to death at a shocking rate, but he is putting a Black Lives Matter, they call them murals now, he's going to paint Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue right opposite Trump Tower, just to annoy Trump. Sharpton and Willie Geist talking about this.
I was in Harlem last week where we did Black Lives Matter on 7th Avenue. It always mattered on 7th Avenue. It didn't always matter on 5th Avenue. That's where the message needs to be.
Rev, guys like you and I can't necessarily shop on 5th Avenue. We just look into the windows and hope someday we can.
Wait a minute. What did he just say? I mean, this is a guy who's paid, you know, at least $1 million a year to sit on TV and talk. What did he just say?
Rev, guys like you and I can't necessarily shop on Fifth Avenue. We just look into the windows and hope someday we can.
It's just a plain-ass lie. Okay, so I'm going to play this now. It goes on a while. I'm sorry, too bad. This guy's name is Bill George, longtime friend of mine. He's now president of the Sacramento Historical Society. A couple of days ago, he was locked out and had to watch from the sidelines as crews removed a statue from the state capitol that had been there since 1880. It was a statue of Queen Isabella of Spain with Christopher Columbus kneeling at her side, and she's offering her jewels to finance his trip to the New World. The statue's been there for literally forever. But in the woke reality we're now dealing with, it just had to go. And this is not the first one to be either destroyed or removed in Sacramento, and there's probably more to come. And this kind of story is probably going to happen where you live as well. This is Bill George.
It's called Columbus's Last Appeal to Queen Isabella, and it depicts Columbus, who, you know, he Spain was fighting the Moors at the time, and Columbus wanted to get a trip financed to across the Pacific, the Atlantic. And he was raising money. He was going to different governments, but he wasn't finding success. So he went to Queen Isabella one final time. And he actually, he had to be recalled. He was on the road to France to try to pitch them. And a messenger went and got him and said, hey, you got to come back and talk to the queen. I can get you a better meeting. You can explain it. So he did. And he convinced her to, you know, finance his three-ship voyage across the Atlantic. And the idea was that he thought that you could go from the from Spain directly across the Atlantic to China and Japan. That's what he thought. He had no idea that he'd run into the Americas. So that's what happened. He got the financing. He went and, you know, kind of bumped into actually around Haiti, Santo Domingo, that area.
Well, what is how long has this statue been there?
Since the 1880s, and it was donated by D.O. Mills, who is a rather well-known California gold rush guy, a banker, very wealthy. And he actually had it commissioned in Italy, sculpted, and then sent back to California and installed in the state capitol. And the concept was that California was, you know, and Sacramento being the state capital, was the end of the continent, the western edge of the continent. And the idea was that the statue would commemorate kind of the completion of Columbus's voyage across, you know, across the continent of America and then onto the Indies. So that was kind of the representation of it.
In terms of the way the statue is, or this meeting between Queen Isabella and Columbus, how is the depiction? What does it look like?
Well, it's a massive, it weighs, I think, 10 or 20 tons. It's huge. It's three figures. It's a page in the court on one side of her. It's Queen Isabella in the middle. She's the dominant figure. And Columbus is kneeling before her. And Isabella is arrayed in her diamonds and jewels, which, you know, what the story was that she was going to sell off her jewels to finance the trip, which she never had to do, but she did have to guarantee the expenses of the journey. So it's a depiction of that. Columbus is kneeling down before her very respectfully. There's no violent images or anything else.
For how long has there been objections lodged to this thing?
Well, I understand that when the Capitol was remodeled in 1976, there were some objections, but oddly from the Sons of the Golden West, and they were, they're more of a drinking group really than a history group, but they thought it should be, you know, some frontiersman from the gold rush or something. That was, you know, their kind of uninformed idea to do it. And then periodically you'd see something in the news about a person going up and, you know, sitting on the statue as a protest. There were, you know, there were some people who, like, I think almost all Columbus statues face this kind of thing. So, you know, then, but not that much that I ever remember. I've been in town on and off for 40 years.
So, okay. So, but recently the protesters raised their head again. Did this coincide with sort of the general attack on statues?
Yes. Yeah. It was after the George Floyd thing. And, you know, they were protesting through the streets, and the first one they got, so they've gotten rid of three of our statues now. The first one was at Sutter, was a statue of John Sutter, who was the guy that raised a community here when it was the wilderness. He came, it was called New Helvetia because he was from Switzerland. And there was a statue of him at a hospital that looks right across from a place called Sutter's Fort, which is really a magnificent restored fort replica, the actual fort restored. So it's an amazing thing. And he was there. Well, when the Floyd thing happened, someone went and doused, you know, a bucket of red paint on it. And that apparently convinced the hospital that they should remove the statue. And so they did that. That's private property. It's a private business, even though it was gifted to them by the people of Sacramento. Again, it was, you know, they decided to take it out. So they took it out. And then the agitation. Then just came a statement from the Democrat leadership of the state of California that said, you know, because Columbus was a divisive person, we're going to take it out. There was no vote. There was no hearing. There was no nothing. Just this pronouncement that they were going to do it. And as president of Sacramento Historical Society, we immediately started, firing off protests to them, saying that we wanted a hearing or wanted our voice heard. We couldn't even get a meeting with them. And I actually had a Republican staff member tell me yesterday when I complained that they didn't fight hard enough. I said, you guys didn't even come out to view the statue being removed. He claimed that, well, if they would do that, if staff members of Republican legislators would do that, they would be fired by the Democrat-controlled Senate Rules Committee. And I mean, I've been here. I've been in the Capitol as a reporter, as an aide, as a lobbyist, all kinds of roles. I've never heard that before. So I don't know if our own Republicans have gotten so gutless. I mean, I know they've gotten gutless, but that's a new level of gutlessness for me. And I think they were just afraid. They did issue a strongly worded letter about a week or 10 days ago. So, you know, obviously that didn't help anything.
Okay, so there's first Sutter went down, then next was Junipero Serra, right?
Right, next was Junipero, and he had a beautiful statue. California Capitol has beautiful grounds, well-tended with many monuments in it, and Junipero Serra, who was a missionary priest in California, established the missions, really, the mission, and so they went and they got him. Now, that's interesting because when the Pope came to California in the 1980s, you know, they protested Junipero Serra and the missions because the Pope visited the mission, I think Carmel. So there was a lot of agitation at that point. But the church responded, I guess. They didn't remove anything. And between then and now, Junipero Serra became a saint. So he was canonized, the whole thing. You know, and I think they have, I'm not familiar with sainthood since I'm not a contender for it ever, but I think they have a fairly rigorous process by, you know, who gets elevated to sainthood. So they made him a saint. But it was on, I think, July 4th, 3rd or 4th, I don't remember, that the Vandals went in the park and destroyed the statue, and that's my understanding. And what the newspaper reported was that, you know, they it's always guarded there, that area, and there were Capitol Police or CHP with the protesters, and they said, the Capitol Police said, well, the protesters were peaceful, then all of a sudden, before we could do anything, they got violent and went in and destroyed the statue. But we're investigating, so, you know, I'm holding my breath on the investigation. So when they pulled the statue out of Columbus yesterday, I went down there. I demanded to be allowed to witness it, you know, take pictures of it. They wouldn't let me in. They did let the press closer, but still not that close. And I said, if I cross this line, are you going to arrest me? And they said, yes. So they would have arrested me for, you know, walking up closer to the statue. But we've got how many hooligans running around, you know, that probably are never going to be brought to justice.
Did the vandals who stole the handles, did they break the statue or just pull it down?
I understand. I haven't seen a picture of it. I talked to a witness. And what they did was, so it's mounted on a large slab, and on the slab is like a map, a relief map of California that details all. It's beautiful, well done. And I think it was done by the artist Joe Mora, who is a very well-known California artist. I think he's from Central America originally, and he's done all kinds of wonderful statuary and print art as well. So anyway, so they did. Apparently, there was a statue standing there of him, and they knocked that down, knocked it off the pedestal, and covered it in paint, set it on fire, you know, all their typical little fun tricks. So I don't think it's been destroyed. I understand it's, you know, in hiding somewhere. What was really great yesterday was, you know, I was very despondent about all of this going on. I think we need to preserve our history, and certainly, you know, Sacramento has never been able to become a tourist town, although we've got a great history. You know, we were really the end of the Western migration, the beginning of the Transcontinental Railroad. All these wonderful things happen here, and the city never does anything to promote it. In fact, we're always in a battle with them to preserve things. They wanted, originally, the people of Sacramento, are the ones who preserved Sutter's Fort. If they hadn't, the city would have torn it down. They were planning to tear it down. Old Sacramento itself, which is a vintage gold rush town, 1850s, all the buildings are there. They tried to tear that down to put the freeway through it. They did put some of the freeway through it. So they just have this attitude, I guess, of, you know, heck, everything's got to go. You know, we just don't care. And it's pathetic. And they have blown a great opportunity to have any kind of meaningful, you know, tourist attractions here. And I don't think, you know, tourism's, certainly you go to Rome, Greece, they commemorate their history. And I think we should do the same thing here, but they keep doing this. They're not going to do it.
All right. So Governor Gavin Newsom, what was his position on the removal of the statue of Isabel in Columbus?
I never saw a position. He's become very hard to communicate with because of COVID. He has a daily briefing. It's usually all about COVID or the state's, you know, budget mess. And he doesn't answer many questions. So I didn't see that he'd issued a position. But it's interesting that since he went to Santa Clara University, which was a mission founded by Junipero Serra, you know, that he's not stepping up to defend any of these things. So we'll see what happens if they go after Santa Clara University.
Well, they're probably going to go after all the missions, right? The whole string of them up and down California.
Well, that's, yeah, who knows? I imagine at some point they would, yeah.
By the way, weren't we working together in the 80s when the Pope visited San Francisco and went to Mission San Francisco?
I think I sent you somewhere. I was the producer of the whole thing. Remember that? It was this incredible thing. Another story, but I'll tell it if you want. But so we had an Irish Catholic owner, a guy named John Kelly. And one day the Diocese of San Francisco, whatever they are, called up and they said, we're having a meeting in Carmel, send somebody. So, you know, being the dutiful Irish Catholic, he sent me down there. And they had invited every television station in the state. And believe me, they all showed up. And they said, and, you know, beautiful lunch in Carmel, beautiful event. They said, we would like to have every step the Pope takes publicly on live television throughout California. Now, he was going to go to San Francisco, Carmel, and then L.A. And, I mean, that's a lot of coverage. And he went, you know, he had events all day long almost. So we put together a statewide consortium, which is basically run by KCRA in Sacramento. We produced every second that he was public was on our air, and it was on air throughout most of the stations in California. So it was an amazing commitment. So I think I can't remember where you went, but I'm sure you were somewhere. I think everybody was somewhere.
I got put at Mission San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you talk about the covering every step. There were lots of steps that weren't covered because he would disappear inside a temporary tunnel.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden you couldn't see him at
right.
all.
Yeah, he would come in and out of the missions and the churches and everything, but some of those were done live too. I believe the masses were done live. I remember the mass at Dodger Stadium was just spectacular. It was so beautiful, and so was it at Ben Candlestick Park. You know, there's 70,000 people there. Right. You know, it was quite the sight. Something I'll never forget, obviously. And I had a Catholic priest color commentator. And one time something happened, you know, when you're in a booth, and I took the phone and slammed it down and uttered a profanity, and he just shot me like, oh God, I am burning in hell. God, why did I do that? It's hard to have a Catholic priest be a color commentator.
All right, so what other statues seem to be on the doomed list?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of statuary. Well, Sutter's Fort itself, I think, is going to be on the list. I don't know what they're going to do about it. That's an actual fort, you know, adobe reinforced, but I can't, you know, I already heard them talking about going after it. You know, almost any, first of all, the name Sutter in Sacramento areas is truly ubiquitous. You can't go anywhere without running into it. You know, it's Sutter Medical Group. It's, Sutter Hospital, Sutter Medical Group, Sutter School. I just driving around, you know, it was like there were so many.
Sutter County.
Sutter County. Yeah, Sutter Creek Town. So there's a Sutter Winery. So I don't know, you know, what exactly they're going to be doing on that. But there's all that. And there's lots of state seals. And they've got Sarah on the, you know, these seals and stuff all in front of the Capitol. On top of the Capitol, nobody even knows this. There are these two beautiful statues that you can see on the west facade. They're of Native Americans. You know, one's killing a bull and the other's killing a bear. They're on horseback with spears. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, who knows? So I would see some things like that. Go, you know, try to get the names changed. And, you know, the thing is, it's a very small group of people orchestrating this. The radio station did kind of a poll the other day. They said no one was in favor of taking these statues, just taking the Columbus statue out. No one. So it has hit a nerve. And, you know, we formed an organization and we're going to try to, you know, we just got shut down so callously this time, that we're going to have to do stuff that we've never done before, getting political, you know, which won't involve the Historical Society since we're a nonprofit, but we can set up other groups with people and align ourselves with the candidates that are going to you know, stop this craziness. I just don't get it. And we've, you know, we got to win this one or there's not going to be anything to remember.
Who is in within officialdom under the Capitol Dome? Who's been leading this?
Well, the Democrat leadership of the legislature, and I don't know, you mean leading this, you mean the Columbus statue?
Yeah.
Because it was in the museum, yeah. Yeah, and there was no explanation. I mean, why did they do it? It just came out, and, you know, they issued one of these, oh, he's a divisive figure in history statements, you know, like, just meaningless, just like every company is, you know, protecting themselves. But there was one guy, he's from Rancho Cordova, which is, you know, a moderate community. It's not a liberal hotbed or anything, working class community. And he's Ken Cooley, head of the Rules Committee, which has a lot of power in this area. So that's one guy that we can kind of target, and we will, you know, we'll see what he's got. Somebody running against him in November. We'll see if we can make life miserable.
Lastly, I've taken up your time. I know you have errands to do, but lastly, all right. So where are these stations go? I mean, the statues go.
Well, they've got a, and this, it was a bugaboo with us at the Historical Society even before all this, but they've got a warehouse out at McClellan, a closed Air Force base. It's a business park now. They've got a big warehouse, and apparently they've got all kinds of stuff in there. There used to be a portrait of John Sutter that hung in the assembly chambers, and I think it was 20 feet, 30 feet long. And so years ago, they stuck that in there. So now they stuck, you know, I don't know if John Sutter statue went there, but the Columbus statue did. So all the good stuff's locked away in a warehouse, you know, so that when they want to go see something, they'll take their friends and family out there and go see it. But the public won't be allowed to see it. So that's on our list. You know, we were going to agitate about that before opening that up to the public, and now we're really going to agitate on it. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens. So, you know, we're not giving up. And there was one real heartwarming story I just want to say that was really nice. And that when the statue is being removed, there was a group of school kids who came from a Catholic school nearby. And they were out there cleaning up the Sarah statue, you know, the getting the paint out of the base, out of the beautiful relief map I talked about, and, you know, on their hands and knees, just working, and, you know, with their, some of their parents, and just the cutest bunch of kids. And they heard about it and they came over as the statue was removed and they started singing Ave Maria. And, yeah. And then these people around them, you know, who were the pro get rid of the statue crowd, they started F-bombing them and everything. And the kids just ignored it beautifully and kept singing. And so that's one thing. That's some hope for the future. So, like I said, I don't think this, you know, this is a minority of group, a very small group of people, you know, just hooligans and criminals as far as I'm concerned. And I, you know, I don't think they're going to prevail in the long term, but we'll see what we can do.
Bill George, old friend of mine.
Yes.
We worked together at KCRA. He's now the president of the Sacramento Historical Society, and pissed off.
That's for sure.
All right,
and resolved. But we, you know, we've got a group. If you want, if anybody wants, you know, just look up Sacramento Historical Society. We have got a great website. You can email to me directly through that, and we'd love to add your name to the list. And, you know, you don't live here, but you can still make phone calls from out of state, and, you know, tell these people they're crazy. So. We are going to fight it.
Bill George, that story he told about the kids as singing Ave Maria while the protesters are F-bombing them. Can you fucking imagine? Just unbelievable. Okay, the Mail, host at johngibson.com. So a couple of days ago, I told a story about going to the grocery store, and there's a sign out in front that says, you must wear a mask in this building. Okay, you know, I put on a mask, as I have been going into the grocery store for some weeks, even though this rule was just recently imposed. And for the first time, everybody in the store was wearing a mask, except for one. And that was an employee working in the produce department. And I was really pissed about it. I mean, they make me wear the mask walking in there. And then this kid's, you know, and so I ratted him out. I Karened him. And I got this note from Mike, which I read a couple of days ago. He said, I don't wear a mask. If you ratted on me, you better hope I didn't get fired. I'd make you eat that damn mask. And I wrote back to him and said, here's the deal. And then in all caps, big sign at the door, no one allowed inside without a mask. And the punk ass kid working there isn't wearing one. He can kiss my ass. If your company doesn't require them, fine by me, but don't put up a sign requiring me to wear one if your employees won't. So Mike wrote back, great response. That's the JG I love. Okay, Mike, good for you. John Goff writing me, wouldn't miss Tucker. He's best on air since you left. And just heard Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana get off a couple good ones on that POS Ilhan Omar. Really like his way of taking on things. Omar reminds me of Khrushchev pounding the desk with his shoe and threatening to destroy us from the inside out. And it really pisses me off that taxpayers pay $174,000 a year plus perks to work to destroy America and what it stands for under the guise of a United States representative. Even more disgusting than Omar herself or the majority of Minnesota morons who voted her into office. That's where we're really going to lose the country, the ignorance of the voter. And being here in California, I am very familiar with voter ignorance. That's my friend John Goff. Okay, the bitch box is 859-544-2766. Let's see who we got here.
Hi, John. This is Paul from South Carolina. My head was literally ready to explode over the weekend as I watched Trump's speeches at Mount Rushmore in Washington, D.C. I kept switching the channel between Fox News and CNN, and CNN wouldn't even cover the president. Literally, I would let it watch for 5 seconds, and they would be maligning the president. And then on the 4th, when that beautiful Air Armada started flying over the mall, the vintage aircraft from World War II, there was a paid professional announcer on the ground in the mall, which Fox News was listening to. But CNN wouldn't even tune into him. They had their own announcer who was an idiot who didn't know anything about aircraft. This was the 4th of July. The President of the United States was speaking, and CNN was so biased it wouldn't even cover him. I was ready to go on a one-man jihad against CNN. Secondly, on yesterday's show, I loved your spot on the Washington Redskins. I mean, the Washington football team. It reminded me that I need to start a protest about my home state's football team. I'm highly offended with Indiana University using the name Hoosiers as their mascot. My family moved to Indiana in the 1840s and were some of the original Hoosiers. In my great-great-grandfather's obit, it said he was one of the first white settlers born in the county. Please join with me and my Sooner friends from Oklahoma and my Cornhusker friends from Nebraska and boycott the use of our heritage as mascots for these government-owned institutions. Bye, John.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll get right on that. It's that time of the program where we hear from...
Leroy, I got to call you so much, man. Be my ass up, man.
Hey, old John, it's me.
Man, there's so much shit in the news.
Yeah, it's time for Khalil and his 4 minutes of funk. He's out there driving that truck trying to get you some toilet paper, man.
That's right.
Now, Khalil went MIA yesterday, and that's okay. He's not a paid employee of this program, and some days he's just busy. But he did call.
Hey, old John, it's me.
sorry I missed the last couple of days, people. Just kind of overslept the my alarm. But, John, the other day you had a guy on that you did an interview with, a black man that said he was HBU, and he got silenced and, you know, kicked out of school basically before his, you know, the Me Too movement.
Joseph
but the
Roberts,
funny
yeah.
thing about what he was saying, there was two ways, there's two things about what he was saying. One, when what he was saying, he was talking on white appropriate language, so to speak. But if you could hear what I was hearing him say, if he was basically out amongst friends and stuff like that and not on an interview or whatever, the way his conversation went was totally hilarious because I could hear like the other side of it, the way I would probably do the conversation. That's one.
Well, let's hear it.
Secondly,
wait a
John,
minute. What?
Are you asking whether or not it is fine to use the word nigra? Are you kidding me, man? Snowman, come on, man. Nigra?
Negro.
Oh, my
Negro.
God. Well, why don't you just go on and say the whole, the regular, the other way, man?
I that don't do
ain't
that.
Gone.
I don't do
oh,
that.
Oh, man. Come no, on, man.
No, I don't do that.
You got to put that sheet back, man. No, I'm cutting holes in your wife, all the wife's daggone good linen.
No, no, wait a minute.
600 thread count.
Wait a minute.
Stop cutting holes in everything, man. Negro. I can't believe you,
I
man.
Did not say
that is
Negro.
Hilarious.
The word hilarious is Negro.
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
Somebody take this precious little female dog.
Dog.
And have her clean up her own backyard first. And I'm not saying go back to Africa. I'm just saying go back to Africa and clean it up. Now, you go over there and you clean that up, then you can come over here and tell us what we're doing wrong. And our economy is fine as fuck. We don't need you to do shit. Matter of fact, you're not doing nothing but sitting up there making your now new rich husband richer. So we see where you're coming from. So basically, Ilhan Omar, fuck you. Finally, you know, your boy Ed, check this out. You know, sometimes
oh, right, Ed. Yeah,
an
Ed.
Imperfect vessel is used to provide you with the truth. You wouldn't listen to what difference would it make to you? Prime example, if Obama came on the radio on the show and he was talking and he was saying all the bullshit that they say and perpetuating all the bullshit that they're trying to do now versus me coming on the phone, on the radio and talking as I do, but yet still I'm sitting up here and I'm saying, hey, watch your back. Donald Trump is the real deal. Don't fall for the bullshit. Get your ass out and vote. See, you're listening to the you're listening to the messenger and not the message. And that's a sign of a fool. But I mean, I'm not calling you a fool. I'm just saying it's a sign of a fool, one of. Wow. So keep on doing foolish shit and saying foolish things and people want to consider you being a fool. You know the old saying, it's better to be considered a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Shut the fuck up. I do this. This is what everybody likes. Now,
well, you're right. Yes.
As I'm running long, but I don't care. Grace Christie. I said the other day that it was on the schedule was for the 8th, but it's for the 10th this Friday. We're praying for you. We got you going, girl. I'm here. Keep up the good work. Keep up the faith. Never give up. Snowman, your favorite nigger is getting ready to call
now, come on.
Leroy.
Now, come on.
You want to call Leroy for me?
No.
Leroy.
Leroy.
Hey, nigger. Leroy.
Oh, God.
Which one you like, nigger or motherfucker? How about a motherfucking nigger? Yeah, hey, motherfucking nigger, give me my ass up. Hey, yo, John, I'm going, Snowman.
All right, okay.
Peace.
All right. The birthday guy is Mitch Mitchell. Recognize the name? The drummer for Jimi Hendrix, born in 1947, which would make him 73, but he's not with us today. Mitch Mitchell, he was born on this day in 1946 here, which would make him 74, but he died in 2008 in Portland, Oregon. In any case, Mitch Mitchell's birthday today. And we went really long today. Woo, really long. So write to me at hosts@johngibson.com. Call the Bitch Box, 859-544-2766. And follow me on Twitter, @GibsonRadio.